Hallelujah. How many believers we got out there? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. Hallelujah for your magnificent presence, Lord God. Ah, glory. Hallelujah. We reverence this moment. We reverence your presence in this moment. Hallelujah. Wherever you at, I want you to open your mouth and decree. At the sound of my voice, I want you to repeat after me and say, this is now a holy place. Hallelujah. This is now a holy place. We reverence your presence, God. Wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, Father God, you said, I am there in the midst. So as you're listening, as you're in agreement, not with me, not with flesh, but with the Spirit of God and the work that he's called us to do, this work is of God. So if you are in agreement with the Spirit of God in this work that he's called us to do, then we are gathered together. Not physically, we're more than physical bodies. We are spirit, soul, and body. So in spirit, we are gathered together. And if you believe in Jesus, you are a believer. As the words of that song, anybody out there believe in God? Lift your hands and say, yes, I believe. Hallelujah. If you believe, then I'm talking to you. If you are a believer, we should be in agreement. We don't have to agree with the flesh, but the spirit bears witness with the spirit. The spirit in me is the same as the spirit in you, and it agrees. Hallelujah. But we may not agree in mind, but our spirits should agree. So in agreement, we understand that he's in our midst. That means if he shows up, the place is now a holy place. It might not have been 5 minutes ago. You might have just got through arguing with your spouse. You might have just turned the TV off. You might have just had a filthy thought. But at this point, you have stepped into a holy place. It's okay if you want to bow on your knees before the Lord. If you want to lay prostrate while you're listening, we're not worshiping anybody but God himself, Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. We reverence this moment. We reverence this time, this moment, this space, in this place, this particular place we are in, Lord God. Hallelujah. Because we know that you are showing up in our midst. And if you're in the midst, Lord God, you are sanctifying not only us but the place, Lord God. You cannot allow anything to enter that space that is not holy. You won't dwell in the midst of the unclean. But you've commanded man to be holy even as you are holy. So, Father God, we reverence you. We make space for you, oh glory. We make room for you, Father. Lord God, and we lay aside our agendas, our thoughts, our will, our ways. Hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, God, for pressing in a glory. I feel the Holy Ghost. Thank you for pressing into us an obedient mind, a willing spirit, Father. Thank you, Lord God. We will see the miracles flow. We will end up in the right destiny when we begin to obey God. Help us to obey you in all things. Father, we come together at this moment just saying thank you. This is your moment, Father. So we reverence you, Father. We're nothing without the Spirit of God.
We're nothing without hope and faith in Jesus Christ. We're nothing without it. We're nothing without the word of truth, your word. We're nothing. I'm nothing. So, Lord God, be pleased with our worship on today. Accept our praise, Lord God. It's not always in the sound, Father God, but it's in the heart's posture that you're looking at. As we decrease, we know you are increasing. Hallelujah. And to your word, we say yay and amen. Men of God, if you don't mind, I want you to do the opening prayer real fast before I really begin to bring forth the word. If there's anybody out there that has a serious prayer need at this moment before we begin to minister in word and teaching, I want you to press 1 so that your prayer request will be covered as well.
Amen. Amen. Yes, dial 1 for any prayer requests, any prayer needs, concerns that may be going on in your life. But we just want to pray for the spirit of agreement, of submission, and humility. And so, Heavenly Father God, we thank you, first of all, for another opportunity to exalt you, to decrease of ourselves, and to allow you to manifest your spirit here in the power of agreement. So, Lord, have your reign, have your will, have complete control over this network, over every mechanism and internet, but over us as servants, Lord. We submit to you right now. But we pray for every listener right now that our ears will hear. We pray right now that our eyes will see, Lord. But we pray right now that as we come into agreement, Lord, that we humble ourselves and say, Lord, we repent. Forgive us of anything that has not been pleasing. Forgive us of any thought that has not been in accordance to your will. Forgive us of any animosity, any hate, anything, Lord, that is closing us or keeping us separated from you, Lord. We want more of you. Take it away, Lord, by our submission to release, Lord, and give it to you right now on the altar. And, Lord, we believe, Lord, as we cast all our cares on you, that, Lord, you will receive them, and you have already taking them on, Lord, that it is done and finished and complete. But we thank you that we're new right now. So we come before you, Lord, hungry. Yeah. We come before you with a desire of more, Lord. We come before you a wanting immediate change, Lord. And we put ourselves out there for our own commitment, our own dedication to say, fill us. Fill us like never before with your word, that it resonates like never before, that we have it exemplifies through us like never before. And we bless you, Lord, for the man of God that you set here on this mantle, in this hour to speak your word of truth, Lord. We receive, Lord, we humble ourselves before you, that we receive clear instructions, that we can leave this place different than we came, change, rearrange, and transform by the renewal of our minds. We decree it. We declare it, our freedom. We decree, we declare our healing. We decree, we declare our renewing of our minds right now. In Jesus' name we pray.
Yes,
amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Thank you. God bless you. God bless all of the listeners out there. If you're listening by way of Block Talk Radio, or through the Now Radio for You app, or if you're calling in, or you're going to catch this later on the archives. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So this is why this type of ministry exists. Okay, this is why we can come together. We understand technology is just technology, and we know the devil tries to use technology, and he often fights against the people of God when we try to use technology. And the reason for that is the Bible says that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. So there's power in the air. And the word prince means ruler. So we actually are clashing with the devil when we begin to go into the airwaves to bring forth the word of God, because God owns everything, including the devil and the air. God owns him. So that's why the devil cannot do anything without permission from God. He can't. And this is why we got to be careful what we say as the people of God, because your words can announce to the devil that I give you permission. Jesus told his disciples, he told Peter, namely, he says, behold, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So what happens is certain activity, we allow it here, and God allows the enemy to do what he does, because he's defeated but not yet destroyed. But we thank God that we are able to utilize the airwaves to preach the gospel in unconventional ways. In unconventional ways, you know, this is why this type of ministry exists, because we can put the word out, and faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. You can't even hear until the word of God is coming forth. Once the word of God comes forth, it begins to break the barrier between your ear and your heart. My God, today, watch this. The Bible talks about those who become dull of hearing. Or have you ever heard the old folks say, you hard of hearing, hard, like a rock, a stone. That means the word of God has to penetrate the hard places. Watch this. Because it's like a stone. In fact, Jesus says that the word is like a seed. And the sower sows the seed, and it falls on various types of grounds. One of the type of grounds Jesus spoke of, he said, it fell among the stones or in the stony places. That means some people's heart is hardened, but the word keeps coming. What I love about God is he says the sower soweth the word. That means you keep on dropping that seed, because eventually the conditions of that ground can change. Eventually that person will go from one state to another if they keep hearing, because watch this, they can't hear where there's not a word. This is why the devil has tricked a lot of folks in the church. They don't want the word. They don't read their Bibles. A lot of Christians don't read their Bibles, and the devil worshipers know the scriptures better than you do. That's sad, but it's true sometimes. The Muslims know the scriptures better than some of you do. Not to beating up on nobody, but we got to have a hunger for the word now, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, not the word of man, the word of God. While I'm on that, let me say this. He also said, how can they hear without a preacher? That's in Romans chapter 10, if anybody wants to know, around about verse 6 or somewhere in there. How can they hear without a preacher? So some people don't understand how this thing is set up by God. God chooses the preachers. He sets the preachers. So when the preacher is led by the Holy Ghost and he opens his mouth, it's no longer a flesh that you're listening to. It's not flesh. We got to know the difference. We have to recognize the voice of God when he's speaking through man. Man is nothing but a channel through which God flows. This is why a lot of people are not experiencing victory or confused and all these different things, because they're not hearing the word. And the devil has a lot of people tricked. They can go to church, buck and shout and run and holler and scream, but no word. We feel like if it's just word to us, boring. Well, because your mind, you're still looking for the thrill. You're looking for a thrill for your flesh. See, we love when we can feel the presence of God and run and shout and roll. Nothing wrong with that. But if we want the glory of God, the real glory of God always brings about revelation. It always brings about unity. It always brings about truth. If we have a move and everybody's knocked out in the flow and everybody's running around the sanctuary and everybody's doing all these things and then no change has occurred, then you got to ask, where's God at now? Where is he? If that was God moving on you, then what was deposited? My God, let me get out of that real quick. So faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's not just the scriptures. Okay, you got folks that read the scriptures, have read the Bible their whole life, and ain't been saved a day in their life. Oh, yeah, I've known people like that. They know the Bible better than probably me, some of these folks. They can tell you exactly where it's at, and when you didn't cross a T and didn't dot an I. They know the scriptures, but they don't know life. They don't know God. So it's not just the scriptures, but the hearing of the word. In other words, God has to make the word known to you, not just what it say, but what it mean. Watch this. He says, with all thy getting, get understanding. We have to understand what we're getting out of this book. So I'm going to go to the scriptures here in a little bit. But The man of God played the perfect song. Anybody out there believe in God, he's talking about, I believe your word is true. We have to come back to the word. Why? Because as he said in the prayer, the mind needs to be renewed. And that's what this subject, if you need a subject or a title, we're going to stick with where we left off last week, because this is what I was instructed to teach on. And the Lord said last week, there's a whole lot of renewing going on. Hallelujah. There's a whole lot of renewing going on. So God is really working on some people's minds. And what he wants to do is get you entangled in the word. See, the devil wants to get you entangled in the world. Add an L to word, and you got world. But you take that L out. Get rid of the L, because we're not losers. Take the L out. You got word. That's what we got to be entangled in. Okay? Yoked up and bound up with the word. Not the surface of just the book, but the word, the living word. So that when you speak the book, it's with power, it's with authority. Angels hearken to your words. Demons hearken to your words. Watch this. When you really got the word living in you, because it's not your word anymore. He said, if my words are in you, abide in you. Watch this. Okay, so I'm going to go to the scriptures here today. I'm talking about renewing of the mind. Renewing of the mind. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I submit one more time, Lord God, just to make sure I'm not directing this. Father God, Father God, just have your way. Speak to these hearts, these minds, these spirits on the line, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are the one that commands. God told Peter, Jesus told Peter, he says, do you love me? He says, of course I love you, Lord. He asked him again, do you love me? He said, of course. And then the third time he asked him, and Peter was grieved. He was like feeling bad. Like, why you ask me this so many times? You don't believe me? He says, Lord, you know all things. And you know whether I love you or not. And Jesus said, well, then feed my lambs. So all the people that don't believe that, they have to learn from a person, then they don't understand that God chooses those who do the feeding. They're still his lambs. We understand that you're his sheep. But for whatever reason, God chooses to put the word in certain people for his purposes, okay? So don't fall into this ideal from these people that are saying, you don't need nobody to tell you nothing. All you need is God going to show you. No, we want you to have a personal relationship with God, but there are some things you are not going to get except God put it in a person. Even the apostles at some certain levels had to submit to somebody to get something. Okay, so God is going to use people because he's a spirit. God's a spirit. We don't live in a spirit world. We live in a natural world, but we are a spirit, and our spirit occupies a space in the spirit realm. And in order to learn of the right spirit, which is God, we've got to hear his word, and it's got to come to the earth. This is what the kingdom is all about. He says that we should pray for thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when the kingdom comes to earth, that means God is bringing forth his word. Not only a word, but power with his word. Power is not always in the bucking, the jerking, the shouting. Sometimes the power is shown forth through a renewed mind. It takes power to change a mind. The most powerful thing we got is our free will outside of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is more powerful than that, but he's not going to override that. Have you ever heard the Holy Spirit tell you don't do something, you did it anyway, if we'd be honest? So he's more powerful than your will, but he doesn't override it. He allows you to choose. That's been there all the way since the beginning. When God gave Adam that tree and said don't, he didn't give Adam that tree, but he placed the tree right there for Adam to see and told him, don't you bother it. Don't you eat off of it. And he did anyway. Well, Adam had the Holy Spirit. He had the Holy Spirit. He wasn't born in sin. He was born because God said, breathe that breath of life into him. That was the Spirit of God. Okay? And he had the mind of God. This is why him and God could agree on all the animals' names, because he didn't have to go and say, God, what you want me to call it? He already had the mind of God. And that's what we're trying to get to. We're trying to get to the place of renewal. I read last week the definition of the word renew. I don't have that on my screen at the moment, to read it, but I'm going to try to play it back on memory. And it basically says to bring something to a former state or to continue where it left off. So Adam was made in the image of God. Okay? The image of God is not flawed. It's perfect. But man chose to go against God because he had free will. So he flawed his own image. Now we have to be brought back to the image of God. Okay? You can find that out in Romans 8 and 29. It says that we are being conformed. Conformed. So, you know, God already formed man with an image and then breathed life into him. Now we got to be conformed. That means we got to humble ourselves. It starts with us. We have to humble self to receive the transforming power to change us. God is able to take and beat you into the right shape and image and to, if he wants to. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. So his hand is mighty. He can pound you like clay and make you into anything he wants you to be. But instead he says, I'm going to give you a chance to humble yourself. My hand is mighty, but humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And when you do that, then that's the conforming. That's called conformity. You submit yourself to the power of another, and you become what they want you to be. Become. You know, look, when you go to your job, some people just don't apply to you because you may have a more liberal dress code. But a lot of jobs have a uniform or a dress code. You have to conform to the rules. You can't look like you want to look, expressing yourself while representing that company. If you want to look like a – Lord, I almost said the wrong thing. If you want to look like a crazy person on the weekend, that's you. You do your thing. But when you go to work and you come up in there and you're out of dress code, they can send you home, make you change clothes, write you up, give you a demerit, or fire you if they want to. That's just because they call the rules. You're on their ground. You're on their territory. You're representing them, not you. It's no different in the kingdom. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because he's bringing this right back around because I knew I needed to talk about this today. In relation to appearance, I'm not going to stay on appearance long, but in relation to that, I want you to listen to me. If I have any influence in your life, I need you to listen to me because I'm not going to be held accountable if you listen to someone else and they deceive you. What's going on in the body of Christ today is a lot of people, and they're not going to call it this, and they're going to argue with it, but the truth is the truth. But a lot of people are conforming to the ways of the world. And what happens is we allow certain things to creep into the body of Christ for relevance sake. We want to be relevant. We want to reach a lot of people. We want them to say that we can relate to them. Listen to me. We have to be very careful what we embrace. For an example, the question was brought up about tattoos, etc., piercings and things of that nature, haircuts and certain type of clothing. Look, I'm not one of these people that's going to tell you you're not saved because you wear makeup. I'm not going to tell you you ain't saved because you got tattoos or you can't be saved because you got piercings and all this stuff. I don't believe like that. But I do believe that there is a conformity. You're conforming to something or someone at all times. The question is who? Who do you conform to? Is it the world or is it Christ? Watch this. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Let me pull that up real quick so I can get in these scriptures because faith come by hearing the word, right? Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world. Just ponder that for a minute. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the will of God has three levels. There's good, then there's acceptable, and then there's perfect. Good is good. It's not bad. It's good that you gave your life to Jesus. It's good that you gave your heart to Jesus, but now he's saying the next level. I need you to understand that my will is holy. Watch this. Watch this. Acceptable, there's things God allows. So there are people that are conforming to the world, and God may accept that, but that ain't really the perfect will of God. When you want it all-encompassing to really please God and to come up in faith, where the Bible says we go from faith to faith. So there's a higher level. So those that say it don't take all that, they don't understand that there's levels in this thing. And I won't say more about levels. I'll back off of that because it's not time for that. But watch this. He's saying, be not conformed. Don't submit to the world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the renewing of your mind is power to transform you. But notice, you got to do it. God's not forcing this on you. He's not forcing you to be transformed. He can, but he's not. You got to do it when your mind is renewed. That means you got to hearken to the right word. You got to listen to the right preachers. You got to read this Bible and study it right. You got to spend time in prayer, spend time fasting, spend time in the word and praying and asking for understanding of what you heard. The Bible speaks of a group of people in the book of Acts, I believe Acts 17. And they're called the Bereans. The Berean people were people that not only listened to the word that the preacher said, then they went and studied to see if those things were true. But what you don't find the Bereans doing is going back fighting against those God set to give them the truth. They weren't fighting against it. They were going to confirm the word for their own knowledge, not to say, oh, this isn't right or that's not right, because, listen, that's just not the way of God. That's not how God operates. And the Berean people, they were people that listened to the right people, but then they also were people that would go and study the scriptures daily. The Bible says they search the scriptures daily. Okay? So even in listening to the right people, you still have a responsibility to know this Bible. It's like going to class and your teacher's teaching you, but you didn't study the lesson she told you to study chapter 4 through 6 yesterday, and then you go to school and you didn't read chapter 4 through 6, and then the teacher's talking and nothing she says makes sense to you. Well, yeah, because you didn't study the lesson. So it's the same thing in the kingdom. God has teachers. The Bible is an anointed book. It can teach you. It can teach you, but yet God in the Bible tells you he gives you those that are going to feed you. It's all in your Bible. So he gives those who do the feeding and breaking down of the word, because listen, and the teachers are reading the same content, okay? But there's a difference between a teacher and a student, and I'll leave that alone for now. Now, he says don't be conformed to this world. That means we're not taking on the fashion of this world, okay? Whatever you was before you gave your heart to Jesus, before you got saved, God says, come as you are. We know this. We all quote this all the time. Come as you are. Okay? But we the word of God says, if any man be in Christ, any. So that includes everybody. There's nobody excluded. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And behold, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. All things are new. That means the newness starts the day you say yes to God, the day you confess Jesus as your Lord. Everything gets new from that moment. Hallelujah. Have your way, Holy Ghost. Everything gets new from the moment, glory, that you receive Jesus, the Son of God, as your Lord and Savior for yourself. So, yes, you may have had, you know, you may have looked a certain way and acted a certain way and talked a certain way and did certain things when you were out in the world. But the moment that Christ's spirit comes into you, the change starts. I didn't say you completely changed and finished. Okay? But all things are new. That means all this newness is now available to you and you gotta put it on. It's like you go shopping. You got old clothes that you're wearing and you've been in need for some new stuff. And somebody say, hey, I want you to go shopping with me. I'm gonna buy you some outfits. And then they take you shopping, buy you a bunch of new clothes. Well, the object is you want to look right. You go and put on those new clothes. Okay? So we have to put on the new clothes, the image of God. We have to start to look like Christ. He's holy. He never conformed to this world. Okay? He put on a human body and became one of us. But he did not conform to the world. Some people, the way they preach Jesus as if he did, because he did go around sinners. I'm not saying we can't go around sinners. Listen. The thing that's going around right now, and I got to hit this again, is about the tattoos and all that. If you had all that before you got saved, there's nothing you can do about it other than pay somebody thousands of dollars to remove them if possible, if the Lord leads you that way and you can afford it. But you can't It doesn't mean you disqualify from being saved or we got to condemn folk because they look a certain way. No, that's not the love of God. But these leaders telling people it's all right to go and do the things that the world is doing, that's an issue. And I'm going to speak about it because here's the deal. God's going to hold me accountable for not telling the truth. What happens when people do certain things? I want you to write this down. Everything you do has a spiritual ramification. I want you to say it out loud. Everything I do has a spiritual ramification. Why? Because man is not just body. He's body, soul, and spirit. He's three parts. Okay? So every decision you make has a spiritual ramification. So I won't say the whole story, but there was a family member, a relative, that wanted to get a tattoo. And this person, we tried to tell him, you know, you don't need to do that. It's probably not wise, da-da-da-da-da. And this person, you know, got caught up and did it anyway, not condemning nobody. They just, you know, this person made a decision. But right immediately after getting that, this person went and started feeling depressed, suicidal, and demons and all this stuff started jumping on him. We have to pray these devils off of this person. This stuff is real. So when you make certain decisions, you open up certain doors. This is why the preachers tell you certain things. Now, some people go way too far. You know, your dress ain't long enough. Your hair ain't, you know, you ain't post plait your hair. And you can't do. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to be the one to deal with people on certain things, especially if they just came into God. You know, when I first got saved, I looked just like what I came out of. I sat on the front row at church with some Timberland boots, some blue jeans, a T-shirt, and a big old necklace on my neck with two big old studs in my ear and a baseball cap twisted to the side because that's just all I had. But in my heart, there was newness. And in my heart, I said, God, I want to look different. I don't even feel like I fit in around here. And God began, I prayed and I said, God, I would like to, you know, wear a suit and tie, but I don't have no suit and tie. I don't have no money because I ain't doing the stuff I was doing no more. So one day somebody dropped a box off at the church full of, you know, suits and ties for me, and they fit perfectly. So God will work on you. But anyways, let me get back into the scriptures. Talk about being made new. Being made new. Hallelujah. Romans 12:1. I'm going to go back up. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. Your bodies. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. I said this last week. I'm going to say it again. In the Old Testament, everything that was a sacrifice died. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Even Jesus had to die. But he says, now that I have died and I've fulfilled the sacrificial rituals of the law, there's no more need of any greater sacrifice to die. Jesus died once for all. You don't have to die for somebody to be saved. Okay? He's died for that. But what he says is, now live. Live as your life, which is dying to the will of your flesh. Live your life in a way that is holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. That means we can't take on the way of this world. We can't do it the way that it looks cool and relevant and all that. We have to hear the voice of God now. We have to go into transition now into the new life. There's a new way. Watch this. The Bible says he has consecrated for us a new and living way. It's new, and it's a living way. That means we're living for him, for his glory, and it has nothing to do with being in conformity to this world. The world says you should do it, then 9 times out of 10 you shouldn't. If the world embraces something, 9 times out of 10 God rejects it. Probably 10 times out of 10. So you can tell when I speak on tattoos for a particular reason, the world embraces that. That's the hot thing that's going now. That's the thing that, you know, everybody wants to do. The reason I say that is because there's going to be mark that people put on their body later, that when you take that mark, you're going to hell. Plain and simple. I don't care how much you say, well, God knows my heart. If you take that mark of the beast, he going to know your heart, and the devil going to know it too. And you seal your judgment. So there's certain things that we preach against as the ministers of Christ, because we want you to not partake in certain types of death. There's a spiritual death. There's death of the soul. There's death of the body. Then there's the dead works. That's the old mindset that keeps you going back to the door of repentance over and over, instead of moving into the house of everything is now new. See, repentance may not change my mind. I'm going to come on back in. You remember when you was kids, your mama and your daddy said, or your auntie or who, your grandma, whoever you was being raised by, they said, quit that running in and out them doors. You need to stay in or out. Y'all remember that? It's similar. There's a door called repentance. So we've been hearing the word repent a lot. We've been hearing the word repent a lot. What does repent mean? It means to change your mind. That's what it really means. It means to turn around. But then the scriptures say repentance should not be repented of. In other words, don't change your mind that you changed your mind. Don't go back to what you just came out of. That hit somebody. Yeah, yes, that was for you. Watch this, because somebody's struggling. The struggle is reality. We all struggle with the flesh. This is why we need the renewed mind. This is why we need the word. This is why we need preachers. This is why we need the Holy Ghost anointing. Watch this. One day I started boohooing and crying about something I did foolish. Yes, even the preacher has the struggles. We got a flesh like you got a flesh. Why we can't judge the preachers so harshly that we forget that they're human. And not only that, the preachers deal with not only their demons that are assigned to get them distracted or destroyed. They got to deal with other people's demons too, constantly. So y'all should be praying for those that break the bread of life. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your first lady. Pray for those that you listen to and that feed you, because they're dealing with more demons than anybody. I didn't say they got demons in them. Don't get it twisted. Some of them might, but anyways, watch this. I was boohooing and crying one day because I did something foolish, or I wanted to do something foolish. I don't even remember what it was. I think I said something out the way to somebody or whatever it was. I don't know, but whatever it wasn't holy. And I got to crying. I got to feeling bad about it. And I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I could feel God just looking at me like how we sometimes look at our kids like, really? I hear you, whatever. Gave me the whatever, the side eye and the cold shoulder. That's how I felt the Spirit of God was dealing with me. And then he dropped it in my spirit. I said, Lord, I need you to talk to me. I need a word, because I felt like he wasn't even speaking. I felt like he was mad at me. I said, Lord, would you ignore me? I heard this scripture right here, Luke 3:8. Opened my Bible, it fell right open to it. Didn't even have to search it out. Bam! He put it right in front of my face. So now I'm going to share this with y'all. I'm first partaker. He says, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. And begin not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father. I say unto you, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. What does this mean? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. That means your lifestyle now has to prove to God that you changed your mind. We're talking about renewing. Yes, God is merciful. His mercies are renewed every day. So he's renewing mercy he's giving you a chance to renew your mind by him renewing his mercy. He knows we're going to have struggles. He knows that the flesh don't want to come subject to the truth of God and the will of the Spirit of God. He knows this, and that's why he keeps giving us mercy. But that mercy is not a license to just do what we want to do, okay? Mercy is an opportunity to do the will of God and not the will of the flesh. My God, today. Mercy is not a license to do what we want to do. Mercy is an opportunity to do the will of God. Hallelujah. He says, bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance, a lifestyle that says, I have done what is right. God, I'm showing you I really mean it. I really mean that I'm sorry this time. See, your tears don't mean as much as we think it do to God. Because I was boohooing and all that. He said, okay, bring forth fruits then. You sorry, prove it. You don't want to do it no more? Don't do it no more. Does God talk to anybody else like this? Watch this. I know it do. He said, hey, you don't want to do it? Don't do it no more. Quit telling me you don't want to do this and stop doing it. Just stop doing it. That
well,
means
I was
the
definitely
going to
confirm that because he definitely does.
Amen. That means the power to stop sinning. Guess what? Watch this. We put it all on the Holy Ghost. We put it all on Jesus. But he's talking to us. If he says, bring forth fruit, then you have the ability to do it. Okay? We have the ability to do it. Watch this. And not only that, we got help doing it. We got the Holy Ghost. We got Jesus. We got the Word. So that means the expectation now is higher. And God is holding us accountable to a higher standard. So therefore, we hold ourselves and one another accountable to a higher standard. Now, I'm not talking about condemnation. I already told you, he's giving you new mercy. You woke up this morning and he didn't let your mind be taken. He didn't let you go insane. He didn't let you jump off a bridge. He didn't let you die in a house fire. So he's already giving you new mercies. Now let's capitalize on it. Hallelujah. Watch this. The next part of the verse says, don't begin to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, God is able to raise up from these stones the children unto Abraham. Abraham represents the father of the faith. So in other words, just because you are a believer does not mean you get a pass. That's what this really talking about. He's talking to Jewish people. This is John the Baptist in this chapter that's talking to the people, preparing the way for Jesus. So Jesus is saying, I don't even want to deal with these people if they ain't came to repentance first. So I'm sending the word of repentance first. I'm sending the word of repentance first. And then Jesus comes along and brings even greater clarity, brings even more power, brings even more hope, brings our salvation, brings us everything we need in God, because he is God. All right, watch. You go up to verse 6. It says, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. There's not a person that was born in this planet that God cannot save. He said they're all going to see it. He did not say obtain it, but everybody's going to hear the truth at some level or not. Watch this. The question that we have to avoid, which is a foolish question, is what about them that ain't heard? Beloved, God is going to make sure they hear the gospel, even if they don't hear it through a preacher. The Apostle Paul did not get preached to. Okay? When he got saved, the Lord himself met Paul. So there's a point that the Spirit of God is going to communicate to every person, and they're going to have an opportunity to be saved while they're living in flesh. While they're living in flesh and blood at some point. But you and I have a job to do because God wants to use us to bring that word to them. This is why the preaching of the gospel is important. This is why living holy is important and giving people the hope they need is important. You might not preach, but there's somebody that God going to use you at some point in your life to tell them the truth. Go with me to the book of Ephesians. Hallelujah. There's so much meat in Ephesians, I could stay there for a week. And I mean literally a week and just teach every day of the week out of the book of Ephesians. But go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm almost through, y'all. Chapter 4, verse number, give me one moment here. I know it's verse 23, but there's something else in there I believe I'm supposed to touch on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Okay. Ephesians 4 and 11. I want to say this real quick. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Notice what he says. Some have apostles, some have prophets, some have evangelists, some have pastors, some have teachers. All of those have an S on the end, they're plural. So ain't no, I'm the prophet, I'm the chief apostle. No, that's a spirit of pride. Your mind need to be renewed. You need to sit down and be taught. If you're the head honcho of everything and nobody else has any say-so, then you're the one that needs renewing because you're bound in the people that listening to you will be bound. But he says, he puts an S on the end of that. Now, that don't mean everybody that's in your ear is anointed of God or chosen by God to speak into your life. But you will recognize the spirit by the spirit. You will recognize the spirit. Okay? You'll know. The spirit bears witness with the spirit. Romans 8 and 16. I'm not going to deal with that one right now. But he says, for the perfecting of the saints. There's a level of perfecting. Okay? For the work of ministry. So daily God is perfecting us. He's daily perfecting us so that we can serve God, that we can serve God and bring others into the body. And not only bring others into the body, but to serve those that are in the body of Christ. And what he says, for the edifying of the body, that means building it up, not tearing it down, building it up. Watch this, Ephesians 4 and 23. God wants to perfect us. That means he wants the image of Christ to be seen in us. He doesn't want us looking like, acting like, sounding like, thinking like the world. Mainly thinking like the world. I'm going to say it again. He don't want us acting like, looking like, sounding like, thinking like the world. We set the standard that the world has to come up to because we are representing Christ. Our uniform is holy. Holiness. The garment is holiness. Watch this. Verse 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, there's a scripture somewhere. I'm not going to look it up right now, but matter of fact, I am going to look it up. It says, we have not received the spirit that is of the world. I believe it's in 1 Corinthians. He says, we have not received the spirit that is of the world, but of God. So that means there's a spirit that comes along with the world. There's a spirit of the world. The Bible talks about love not the world, nor the things that are in it. So the world carries a spirit. So here he's telling us in Ephesians 4 and 23, he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So the mind has a spirit. Watch this. The mind will take on the spirit of what it's immersed in. I said this last week. 1 Corinthians 2 and 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So when I say the spirit, know the spirit by the spirit, this is what I'm talking about. The spirit recognizes the spiritual things. Keep reading. He says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the spirit of God. That means the old flesh, carnal nature. It doesn't understand the things of God. This is why we're told to get an understanding. You got to seek for it. You got to be listening. Then he says, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. This means we've got to transform what mind we're thinking with now. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So Paul writes in Galatians and says, any of you see a brother overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual minded, restore such a one. Which lets us know everybody in the church ain't spiritual minded. He specifies only them that are spiritual minded can restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest ye be also tempted likewise. So the spiritual mind is the place we're trying to get to. We're trying to get to this place so we can compare spiritual things with spiritual things and spiritually discern what God is saying to us, what God is showing to us, that we will not be as children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. That means we get settled now. We get entangled in the truth and we get settled. We get settled in the way of Christ because the image he's looking for is himself, not just in love, but in the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Sound mind. That means I hear the voice of God. That means I know the way of God. I know the way of truth. That means I can recognize and hear clearly and discern the spirit talk to me, piercing through my soulish desires and the will of my flesh to tell me what is right This means you have an ear to hear. What happens is we fail in the renewal of our mind process sometimes because of strongholds, which is another subject matter that I can't deal with much today. But strongholds is a thought pattern that builds. It builds a pattern around your mind. It's like a fortress. That's exactly what it is. It's a fortress built by thought patterns. Think of every thought you have that is contrary to God is like a stone or a brick. And every time you think that, another brick is built, added to that wall. And that wall is designed to keep you out of the presence of God, out of the holiness of God, out of the righteousness of God, and keep you making the confession Jesus is Lord, but not living anything. That's why he says, why call you me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say. Don't worry if you don't understand everything I'm saying. Your spirit is getting it. Watch this, because the faith come by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So every time we disobey God, every time we think the wrong thought, every time we fill our minds with worldly music, worldly television shows, and worldly things, you know, spending all of our time on the internet, we all got something that of the world that we're attracted to because the flesh is of the world. That's why we've got to renew the mind. But every time we don't renew it, we're building that wall up, and it's getting higher and higher, thicker and thicker, and it's keeping us from the things that we really should be apprehending. Every time we deny ourselves, every time we don't listen to that song or watch that craziness on TV or, you know, click www.whateveryoushouldn'tbelooking@.com, every time we turn away from those things, every time we say, you know what, I'm going to be kind instead of cuss you out, I'm going to walk away instead of choking you out. We got some fighters on the line today. May God deliver your hands. Every time you do the right thing, then that's another brick knocked down. See, the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Pull it down. You got to pull it down. And sometimes it doesn't. When you pull down a wall, you hit one brick at a time. You might get a sledgehammer and knock a hole in it, but the whole wall is not falling like Jericho. You know why it's not? Because we're the ones that keep building it up in our own thought process. My God, watch this. Our own ways. And God said, now you got to do spiritual warfare. Some of this warfare is not even the devil. He's got his part in it because he's presenting you with something to look at that's not of God. He's presenting you with something to listen to that's not the way of God. He's presenting you with a suggestion, a thought, and you following it. And he's just saying, all right, keep on binding yourself up. Keep locking yourself away in this dark place. Keep doing it. I love it because you make my job easier. I ain't got to do nothing but suggest to you, and you go and do all the building. But God is giving you commandments, not just suggestions, so that we can build right. Watch this. I got one more thing I want to put out there. Going back to Ephesians, I believe it is. 4:23. Hallelujah. See, what happens is the word of God will chase you down. It'll run all up in and through you to find you where you are. It will, and it'll chase you down. See, there's a level of preaching that will cause people to give up their demons. Watch this, because that word will find you. So your spirit is like a candle, and when it hears the truth, that candle gets brighter and it starts searching the walls of the inside of you. Watch this. Ephesians 4:23 says, be ye renewed in the spirit of your mind. So we need the spirit that is of God, the Holy Spirit. We need to immerse ourselves in the things of God. You got to be around church. You got to be around church folks let me rephrase that. Kingdom folks. Because church folks will have you doing all kind of stuff. Church folk go to church, shout, lay all out on the floor, get right up and go and cuss somebody out. Church folk do all kind of dancing and tear a hole in the carpet of the church and shouting, and then go right out and gossip at the Sunday dinner and talk bad about the pastors and everybody else. Y'all better watch what you're saying these days. I'm telling you, it's dangerous. It's real dangerous. So you got to be around kingdom-minded folks, people that understand that God's kingdom and rule is here on earth, and he wants to rule. He wants his will done here through you, through me, through us. Hallelujah. He says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That means be around us and immerse yourself in the things of God, the Word. Turn off whoever you're listening to. Turn them off and get you some worship music. And then sometimes you don't need no music. Sometimes you just need to lay silently until you hear the voice of God. And if you can't hear him, start eating the Word more. The more you read the Bible, the more clearer you know the voice of God. People don't know the voice of God because they don't read the Bible. This is why they fight the preacher. With the voice of God coming through the preacher, they ain't studied the Word. So then they go home and well, I just don't see it like that. Or they don't pray when they study the Word. So they study the Word in the carnal mind, bring it to you and say, "Nah, that preacher said it like this, but this is the way it goes," and have not heard from the Spirit of God. So we have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. God loves us. He wants us to experience the best of him, and we cannot do that in the old way. Why? The very next verse says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Oh, man, I could go on and on with that, but I'm going to leave it on. He said, put it on. So that's talking about holiness. He said, put on the new man. So listen, when it ain't about your what you wear as far as in the natural. It ain't all about, you know, well, you can't wear jeans and you got to wear a skirt and you can't wear makeup and all this stuff. It's not about that. It's about holiness. But when the holiness is put on you, then it's going to change how you carry yourself. I'm not saying we all got to dress alike. I'm not saying we all got to look a specific way you can't wear this and you can't wear that, et cetera, et cetera. But there is a garment of holiness, and it's going to direct how you live, how you speak. Jesus told a parable, and this is the very last thing, I promise. Jesus told a parable, and he said that there was a man that had a marriage feast for a son, and he sent out the word, and, you know, people began to make excuses, okay? They began to make excuses about why they couldn't come. So then he says, "Go ye out to the highway and compel them to come." And then he goes and he gets the people and brings them in. And then he says, after they got there, there was one man there. I'm trying to find that in the scriptures. I can't find that place. I think it's Luke, the 22nd chapter. But anyways, he says that when they got to the feast, he found a man there that did not have on the right garments. He didn't have on the right garments. And he basically told him, "Friend, what are you doing here? Why didn't you have on the right garments?" And he says, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That means God is serious about us conforming to the image of Christ and not to the world. If we're going to be transformed, we have to conform. We have to be conformed. That's Romans 8 and 29. If anybody needs scripture reference on that, we must be conformed to the image of his son. Okay. We have to. God, I thank you. I bless you, Lord. I thank you that you love us enough to tell us the truth. You love us enough to get us to a point of saying yes. And you give us your word, because your word will break down the barriers. Your word will go into our hearts, our minds, our spirits. Your word will separate the soul from the spirit, that we're not soulless. Hallelujah. That we're not just, "Oh, I desire. No, but God, we begin to know you after your spirit, which changes the dynamics of the soul, which changes even our desire. When deliverance really comes, we desire you more than anything. Hallelujah, Lord God. And as you cause us to desire you, you will cause us to seek you the more. And as we seek you the more, you will cause us to live in a way that is lined up with you, that we are able to glorify you in our body and bring the flesh subject. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that healing is on the line right now. Not only physical healing, but mental healing. I pray against the psychological warfare that has been launched against your people. I bind up these these thoughts that the enemy is trying to place in the minds that are coming from demonic elements. And I pray right now, Lord God, that you would loose your people. Loose them, Lord God. Loose them into the glorious liberty, the righteousness of God, the understanding of your truth. Hallelujah, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for blessing finances. Somebody on the need, somebody on the line, you have a need and you're worried. But the Lord is going to pay it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Lord God, we ask that you would be with each and every one of us as we exit this line on today, as we're dismissed. Father God, we pray that you would just cause us to hunger more for your word, to see more of your truth, not to see it our way, but show us your word. Hallelujah, Lord God. We thank you for the renewing of the mind. In Jesus Christ's name. Lord, protect each one on this line. Protect their loved ones. We pray against the spirit of death. We pray against the spirit of murder. We pray against the spirit of intimidation and bullying. We pray against it right now, Father God. And we thank you for preserving life. In Jesus' name, amen.
See, I worship you with all of me, my heart, my life. I'll give you everything. I'll pay the price. It's such a small sacrifice to worship you, my Lord, my God, my King, with all. gotta take control. It's all about you anyway. Oh yes. Hallelujah. It's all about him. Praise him in this place. With all that you are, just begin to worship him. Worship you, Jesus. Sing prophetically right now.
family, know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000Now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000Now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name, we love you, family.